think about big cities, big post-industrial cities, like Detroit, for example. When you do, you probably don't first think of trees and green infrastructure. Well, my next guest wanted to change that. Dean Hay is director of green infrastructure at Greening of Detroit. This group has planted more than 81,000 trees in Detroit, Hamtramck, and Highland Park since it launched in 1989. Welcome, Dean.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And joining us from Milwaukee, we say hello to Joe Wilson. He's the executive director at Greening Milwaukee. This is a city which has been consistently on the list of one of the 10 best urban forests in America. Joe, thanks for talking with us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Dean, I want to start with the reality that we all know is so true in Detroit, facing tremendous challenges from getting streetlights to work, again, to crime, to blight, to water being shut off to people who can't get the money to pay their water bills. With all of that and more going on, why trees?
So trees are actually community builders. They help us to have safe streets. They help us to reduce the amount of crime. The shade that they produce actually reduces the summertime temperature in these areas. Wherever there's a large canopy area, the value of those houses is increased. And you yourself would see that. If you're looking for a home, most likely you're going to choose a home that has a tree-lined street. And so one of our efforts is to try to bring those community building efforts that trees provide within communities of the city of Detroit.
How do they reduce crime?
There's been some studies that have shown that areas where they had to reduce large amounts of trees due to disease or the trees actually were aging out, the years following, crime rates actually increased in those neighborhoods.
I think that would startle a lot of us to know that. Joe Wilson, what have you seen in Milwaukee? Tell us, how do you see trees improving a city above and beyond aesthetics?
Well, I think the quality of life is important. We're very concerned, having been an industrial revolution city during the heyday of big machines and smokestacks and all that, that trees in Milwaukee have done a lot of good for our air quality, which is consistently improving as our canopy gets mature and older. And secondly, our biggest benefit to the trees in our community has been our stormwater runoff issues that we have. They're just big protectors of the environment, that having trees involved in our infrastructure make them just as valuable as you would call the police or the fire department or the sewer system. Trees play a vital role in our community for those two main reasons, in addition to the aesthetics and the property values. But more importantly, we see trees as infrastructure.
For both of you, I'd love to get your taking us in further into how a neighborhood, the feel of that neighborhood and the perception of that neighborhood changes once trees are planted and they begin to mature. I mean, we see that, you know, Greening of Detroit has planted more than 81,000 trees in Detroit. How does it change?
Well, the immediate change is that in order to take care of those trees, in order for them to establish, we actually hire high school students for summer jobs. And so it creates a great monetary benefit. A lot of the jobs that we provide are the first jobs, the high school jobs that kids are able to apply for. And they learn a lot of job skills. They learn a lot of team building. And with those skills, they're able to move on to post-high school jobs or to go on to college. It's very inspiring. The trees themselves, as they mature, you start to see that they build this canopy. And within that canopy, and I can remember as a kid, you know, we used to jump between the shade of the trees, trying to avoid the hot sidewalks. And so as that canopy establishes, there's a unique identity that becomes part of that community where we're planting.
Tell us from your perspective, Joe, what you've seen in Milwaukee.
Well, in Milwaukee, the canopy of a street has been something that's been around for a long time, where our community made the commitment a long time ago to make sure that our trees that are put in by our Department of Public Works created this shade tunnel, if you will, through the communities, which will allow the utilities to be lessened and also the aesthetics and the beauty of it to give the community a very proud feeling about it. The second thing is that it doesn't come without a challenge. I mean, while our streets are lined with trees of various species now from the lessons learned from things like the Dutch elm disease and here recently the emerald ash borer, we find that that discourages communities from planting trees in their backyards. and also the way that the threat has been to make the backyards an extension of living rooms. People don't like the hassle of the trees, the sap, the leaves, and all that. So there's still a challenge out there. Sometimes I tell people our streets look like a Hollywood set. The streets look wonderful. The canopy is great. But if you look behind the buildings, it's a facade. And there's not that many trees in the backyard. So we're getting people to understand that now, and there's a change that's happening to that. But the whole environment of a community with trees changes attitudes and creates a whole lot of better feeling about it. And this University of Illinois has done a study on, you know, how do people feel when you have trees, et cetera, et cetera. And I have to validate that study, because when we work in those communities and give trees away to homeowners to plant on their private property, we get a real great sense of people saying, you know, I really love my trees. You know, we're challenged by a whole lot of other things, too. People leaving communities to move to bigger houses and other suburban areas, et cetera, where we don't really get to see the people nurture that tree for the next 25, 30 years, which was the case in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, where people planted a tree, they were going to live there, retire there, et cetera. So we run into little challenges, but it is the essence of Milwaukee to have trees on properties, both public and private.
Do you plant, does Greening of Detroit plant on public or private property?
We principally plant on public property. We do encourage people to plant on private property. And in the past, we've had tree sales that we really trees that are sold at cost to encourage more greenery. And we realize within the city of Detroit, there are few street trees, but there are a lot of trees within the alleys that are in back of houses, as well as in the public parks. And so what we're trying to do is trying to find areas where street trees make sense. Of course, for the stormwater infiltration, that's one of the things that we're really trying to push, because we realize that the water that is not infiltrated into the soil will end up in the storm sewer and then into our wastewater treatment plants.
I'm interested, Joe, as we mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, American Forest has been consistently naming Milwaukee as one of the 10 best urban forests. Why do you think your city is always up there at the top 10?
As I mentioned, we see trees as a part of our infrastructure. We don't see it as we see it as important and as vital as our sewer system, as important and vital as our utility system. And we see it as a valuable commodity for the city. So it has a substantial budget in our city budget. And also we have a full service, a high operation nursery that the city runs. And it's got all the species growing there, and they're nurtured by the city employees who watch the nursery. So, you know, in some communities, like let's say for Las Vegas, it's all about the glitz and the lights, and that makes Vegas. For Milwaukee, it has been about the trees, and it's always been about the trees. So that keeps us high up on the list with other communities that take that value and importance. I mean, haven't been hit hard by the Dutch elm disease back in the 60s and 70s made everybody open their eyes up and say, wow, we don't want to lose this canopy. Now, we went from 40 to 45% canopy down to 14 as a result of that problem. And that was horrible. And then we rebuilt it right back up to at least 20. So we're at 20% now. We're still growing, but, you know, we battle infrastructure, we battle construction, new development, we battle diseases now with the emerald ash borer, and just all the other diseases that come around. But the city's committed to seeing that if they lose a 35-year-old tree, that another one's right behind it. And so they don't waste any time waiting for that tree to come down. They're ready to plant the next one a few yards away to get the tree to recover and the canopy to be built up. So it's a matter of attitude. The city here has an attitude about that. Some cities have an attitude about their beachfront. Other cities have an attitude about their skyscrapers and their, you know, streets. For Milwaukee, it's trees. I mean, when you look at their budget and you look at what they put up for police and fire, then the forestry people are always fighting for dollars, but they're satisfied that they'll be able to maintain the trees with their forestry crew.
And let's talk about that when we talk about Detroit. Budget is a huge problem. And I saw one statistic that said from the heyday in Detroit in the 60s and 70s, when there were about 400 individuals employed in the city's forestry program, today there are only about 22. And you need groups like yours bringing in volunteers and people from the community. What's the key to overcoming the budget crisis where Detroit can't rely on the kind of budget support Milwaukee gets?
That's a really good point. And one of the reasons why the greening is so prolific is because we're able to find funding that the city couldn't necessarily bring in or doesn't have the money to do. The city is focused mainly on removals at this point, and so we have a great partnership with them to be able to put trees back in the locations where they're taking them out. But of course, funding is always a limiting factor. And actually, the trees are being removed faster than we can actually get in there. Our organization is fairly small, and so we are always looking for creative ways in order for us to lower our labor model, the cost of our labor model, as well as to invigorate the volunteer model that we're currently using.
How long do you think it might take for Detroit to join Milwaukee on that top 10 list?
It's hard to say. I mean, there's a lot of really positive things that are happening in Detroit right now. And the city, you know, has come to us and said that they will really want us to start planting trees for them, you know, in a much larger grade. So we're really looking for those creative ways in order for us to be able to do more in the city, and not just in the urban forestry, but all of the other programmings that we offer that the city is, you know, partnering with us on.
And I guess, Joe, finally, your thoughts. What advice would you offer cities like Detroit based on the success you've had in Milwaukee?
Well, I'm fortunate in one case where the city here feels that way about their trees. Detroit did also at one time. They were one of the top 10 at one time. You know, when you get crunched with, you know, things like the Emerald Ash Borer, and then you get crunched with properties being abandoned and trees not being cared for in that area, it's tough to rebound and recover. You got a wonderful organization like the Greening of Detroit that has been working at all levels to try to make this thing happen. I mean, they make things happen. They employ people, so that helps the community. But, you know, like Dean said, they get removed faster than they can put them in. And then you also have the care for the maintenance becomes the biggest issue from there. I think the volunteers are the key. They are the action heroes of the greening industry, no matter what we do, whether we do trees or gardening or whatever. It's going to take volunteers to build and rebuild the urban forest in Detroit. We cannot rely on city government. The same thing goes here in Milwaukee. If perchance our budget was cut severely here for economic reasons, no jobs, this, and then the other, I would have to go back and get my volunteer force to step it up and take an interest and take a concern and spread the word to avert a crisis in the future. And unfortunately, we use examples like Detroit and other cities that have gone through this crisis. We could then use volunteer power. Green of Detroit's already using volunteer power. They do great training programs for them. We'd have to do the same thing. Here in Milwaukee, I'm more concerned about seeing that trees get planted in the backyards of private property. That's why we exist. Getting people to change their lifestyles, their attitudes towards trees in their backyards, to bring that all back again, it's taking a big effort. You know, there's just apathy that happens here because when the price tag comes up, a tree gets diseased with, let's say, the Emerald Ash Borer, the Dutch Elm disease kind of disease, and you have to remove it. The ticket price to removing that tree discourages the homeowner from ever seeing another one in their backyard. It's not a cheap cost to remove a tree that's very large out of your backyard.
No.
You know, $500 would be a great price, but they start at $1,000. So that's our challenge here, and it's all up to volunteer homeowners to chime in and continue to see that there's value to their property when they plant a tree. And then it's also up to volunteers to see that we want to continue to beautify and consider that infrastructure a valuable asset to our community, to our quality of life.
And that was Joe Wilson, who's executive director at Greening Milwaukee. And he was joined by Dean Hay, who's director of green infrastructure at Greening of Detroit. And speaking of volunteer power and being involved, it's a good time to mention that you can get more information by going to greeningofdetroit.com and find out about what's being done, what's needed, and how you can be involved. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you, Cynthia.